Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on Soul Pride Style Call and Response Riff Color for Jungle and Old School DNB Vibes. In this session, we're not just making a cool riff, we're building a riff that knows how to speak to the drums. That means soulful, animated, a little gritty, but still disciplined enough to leave room for the kick, snare, sub, and break edits. That balance is the whole game in drum and bass. If the hook is too huge, the groove gets crowded. If it's too plain, the drop loses personality. So the goal here is controlled movement with real musical identity. The basic idea is simple. One phrase makes the statement, and another phrase answers it. That call and response energy is a huge part of classic jungle and old school DNB. It makes the track feel like it's talking back to the listener. And in Ableton Live 12, we're going to use macro controls to make that conversation feel alive without having to automate every tiny detail by hand. Start by choosing a riff source that already has some soul. A chopped sample from Simpler or Sampler is perfect if you want that authentic old-school character. You can also build your own riff with Wavitable, Analog, or Operator if you want a more controlled synth-based approach. Either way, keep the harmony musical and emotional. Minor keys are a strong starting point. Think C minor, D minor, F minor, or whatever fits your bass line. In this style, a simple two-bar call and a two-bar response is often enough to create a hook that sticks. Now here's the first mixing decision that matters. Don't make the response phrase equal to the call. The call should feel like the main idea. The response should feel like the reply. So if you're using two chains inside an instrument rack, keep the response a few dB lower, usually at around 3 to 6 dB quieter. That difference gives the listener instant phrasing clarity. It also helps the snare stay in charge, which is important because in jungle and old school DNB, the snare is often the center of the conversation. Group your riff source into an instrument rack, then map some useful macro controls. A great starting set is tone, dirt, width, tail, delay throw, decay, presence, and response color. Think of these as performance faders, not huge special effects knobs. The best moves in this style are often subtle, a little darker on the answer. A little wider on the pickup, a touch more saturation on the last hit. If you need giant knob turns to hear a change, that usually means the bass sound needs better balancing first. For tone, map a filter cutoff so you can open and close the riff across phrases. For dirt, map a saturator drive or maybe soft clip. For width, use utility so you can keep the stereo image under control. For tail, map reverb send or dry slash wet. For delay throw, map echo send or dry slash wet. And if your source allows it, map decay or release so you can shorten the response and make it feel more percussive. Next, shape the riff around the pocket of the drums and bass. Put EQ8 on the rack or on each chain and carve out space. If your bass line is strong, high pass the riff somewhere around 120 to 180 HE. If the riff is thin and the sub is still clean, you can bring that down a bit. But be careful, the low end in DNB has to stay organized. You can also reduce muddiness around 250 to 400 HE if the riff starts stepping on the snare body or bass harmonics. That area is a big one to watch. A lot of the time, if the riff feels cloudy, the fix is not more brightness. It's cleaning the low mids. If the riff is too spiky, add a compressor or glue compressor after the EQ and just take the edge off. You do not want to flatten it. You want it controlled. A small amount of gain reduction, maybe 1 to 3 dB, is often enough. Keep the attack reasonably slow if you want the transient to breathe. That helps the riff keep some punch while sitting more politely in the mix. Now let's make the call and response feel more like it belongs inside the break. Use sidechain carefully. A compressor keyed from the kick or drum bus can help the riff duck just enough to let the break breathe. Keep the settings moderate, fast enough to react, but not so aggressive that it turns into modern dance music pumping. In jungle and old school DNB, the groove should feel like it's weaving around the drums, not bouncing on top of them. You can also use groove to make the MIDI feel less robotic. A little swing, a little timing variation, can go a long way. The call and response idea works best when the phrases feel human enough to have attitude, but tight enough to loop hard for DJs. That's the sweet spot. Now start automating the macros in phrase-based motion. Think in two-bar or four-bar chunks. For example, the call can be fuller, brighter, and slightly wider. Then the response can get darker, drier, and narrower. You might bring in more dirt and delay on the answer, then clean it up again when the next call comes around. That contrast is what gives the riff personality. If everything is changing all the time, the hook loses identity. We want contrast, not chaos. A really strong arrangement move is to let the call feel direct and present. then let the response feel a little more textured or distant. That creates depth without needing extra layers. It also keeps the track mix friendly. Remember, the drums and bass should still be the engine. The riff is the voice. For space, put your reverb and echo on return tracks instead of flooding the insert chain. That gives you much better control. A short to medium reverb with the low end filtered out works well. A dubby echo time like 1/8 dotted or a quarter note can add jungle weight without washing the mix. Send more on the response than on the call. That way the question sounds more immediate, and the answer sounds a little more atmospheric. That contrast feels very classic. Once the macro movement feels right, consider resampling the riff to audio. That's a very authentic jungle workflow, and it can actually make the mix cleaner. When you print the sound, you lock in the performance moves and gain more control over fades, transients, and phrase emphasis. After resampling, trim the tails, clean up any rumble, and if needed, make a second version that's a little dirtier or a little darker. This is a great way to create a call version and a response version with clearly different character. At this point, do a mono check. This step matters a lot. If the riff disappears badly in mono, or if the sub gets blurry, the stereo image is probably too wide or the low mids are too busy. Keep the sub centered. Keep the widest effects more in the upper harmonics. If the riff is clashing with the snare, go back to that 200 to 500 Hz area and make room. In old school jungle, the snare has to stay authoritative. If the riff takes over the snare space, the whole track loses its punch. A good test is to play the track quietly. If the riff still reads at low volume, that usually means the mids are in the right place. If it only works loud, it may be relying too much on brightness or width. A strong DNB riff should feel clear even when it's not blasting. Here is a useful mindset for this whole technique. Use macros like you're performing the riff, not just tweaking it. The call can step forward a little. The response can pull back or get more degraded. The space can open and close. That kind of movement makes the loop feel alive without making the arrangement confusing. Indeed, NB, clarity is power. If you want a darker, heavier feel, try putting the saturation more on the response than the call. A slightly dirtier answer can add tension. Also, don't be afraid to filter the response lower than you think. Sometimes the darker reply makes the next brighter call feel even more exciting by contrast. Short delays can also work better than huge reverbs for weight. They give depth while keeping the mix tight. Another strong trick is dual stage filtering. Put one filter before saturation and another after it. That way you can control what gets distorted, and then shape the final tone afterward. It's a really nice way to make the response sound more crushed while keeping the call clear enough to cut through. You can also crossfade between two characters if you want to push this further. One version can be soulful and open. The other can be chopped and compressed. A macro can blend between them. That's especially useful for drop transitions, turnarounds, or second drop therination, where you want the hook to feel familiar, but different. Here's the big takeaway. Soul Pride style riff color is not about stacking more and more stuff. It's about making a small musical idea feel like it's alive inside the drum and bass pocket. The call speaks, the response answers. The macros let you shape the emotion, the tone, the width, the dirt, and the space in real time. And because you're doing it with mixed discipline, the riff stays exciting without wrecking the low end. So as you build, keep asking yourself, does the snare still hit hard? Does the bass stay clear? Does the riff say something on its own? And does the response feel like a reply, not just another copy? If it does, you've got the vibe, you've got the conversation, and you've got that classic jungle old school DNB energy locked in. Now open up Ableton Live 12, build your rack, map those macros, and make the riff talk.